Good morning, and greetings from Kingsport and my family and your family. It's a privilege and a great honor to be here, and I appreciate the responsibility and trust that you've placed in me. Thank you. If you would, turn back with me to Hebrews chapter 13. When I'm called and asked to come or to stand someplace, as often as I can, I know something about where I'm going, where I'll be preaching at, and word has sometimes reached of things that are going on. And in trying to find the message, those things enter in as you're trying to find what the Lord would have you bring. And in the last couple of weeks, I've heard word from this congregation. Some of the word has been good news. Some has been concerning news. All of it has meant change. And the same can be said in Kingsport. In every corner of this globe, change is the word. Continual change. And oftentimes we'll hear of news or the concerns that affect other people, and we acknowledge it. We take some bit of action, and then we kind of move on with our daily life because it didn't impact this realm. And we go about our day-to-day responsibilities. But then word comes, and it's a little word, but it impacts this realm. Oh, what a catastrophe. Be it good news or bad news, great catastrophe. My world is blown. Everything's not in order. Change has come. As I thought about that, I think we all probably react in the same manner. I got to thinking about the changes that came into my life. My children being born. It's good news. It's going to be a good change. It's a change. It's a huge change you can't prepare for. And as I thought about how I reacted back then, I realized there was something that I always looked for in every little change. I looked for something stable, something that wasn't going to be affected by this change. With those kids' births, the assumption was, and thankfully came to be true, my wife was going to be there with me. And we were going to face this together. We would be supporting one another for this change. In this life, there shall be change. But I have a reminder. I have an anchor for our souls. Jesus Christ, God the Son, is the true, the one, living God. And here in Hebrews 13:8, our text says, Jesus Christ, the same, yesterday and today and forever. The author of this letter is coming to the close of his letter. And he is summing up the message he wants to proclaim. He wants this to stay with you. Throughout the letter, he has declared that Jesus Christ is better. He's better than the types. He's better than the ordinances. He's better than the law. The Lord Jesus Christ is better. He's declared Christ to be the fulfillment of all those types, of all the ordinances, and all the figures. And in this letter, he's declared Jesus Christ who he is. Who Christ is yesterday is who Christ is today and who Christ is tomorrow. In short, he says, the Lord Jesus Christ is I am. With that in mind, this morning, I want us to just walk through this letter and be reminded one more time of who our Lord is. Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 1. Hebrews 1, verse 1. God, who at sundry times and in diverse manners spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds, who, being the brightness of his glory, and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high, being made so much better than the angels, as he hath by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. The first thing this writer declares about our Lord Jesus Christ is he is God. He is God the Son. God hath spoken unto us by his Son, the brightness of glory and the express image of God. For in Christ dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. When we, with eyes of faith, are allowed to see and to behold our Lord Jesus Christ, we see God. In John 14:8, Philip saith unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. Jesus saith unto him, Have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, show us the Father? As God, the man Jesus Christ is God Almighty. As God, our Lord is the great revelator. Verse 2. God hath in these last days spoken to us. Christ speaks to and shows unto us the things of God. He is our great revelator, and he is the creator. Again in verse 2, God hath spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom he also made the worlds. Christ is the creator of the physical worlds, the planets, the stars. He's the creator of the worlds of plants and animals. He's the creator of the worlds of governments. And he's the creator of all spiritual worlds. As we go about our daily task living in this world, do you ever find a longing to escape? A longing for rest? A longing for just to be done? Do you find you look forward to gathering together like we are now? To sitting and opening God's Word And if the Lord's pleased to bless it for a moment, block out that world of sin and change, and just for a moment contemplate on the hope of that world to come. It is by Jesus Christ that the worlds are made. Verse 3. Our Lord Jesus Christ, being the brightness of His glory and the express image of His person, and upholding all things by the word of His power, when He had by Himself purged our sins. Our Lord Jesus Christ by Himself purged our sins. He, the eternal God, before the foundation of the world, laid down His life for a sinful, rebellious, wicked man such as I am, for those that He loved with an everlasting love. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, before the foundation of the world, purged our sins. Jesus Christ, the same today, purged our sins. And Jesus Christ, the same forever, purged our sins. Our Lord is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Verse 3 again. Who being the brightness of His glory and the express image of His person, and upholding all things by the word of His power, when He had by Himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the Majesty on high. And verse 8. But unto the Son He saith, Thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of Thy kingdom. The first thing we have revealed to us in Hebrews is that the Lord Jesus Christ is God the Son. He's the revealer of the things of God. He is the creator and sustainer of worlds. He is the one who purged our sins, and He is the mighty King. The writer goes on to show us Jesus Christ, the man. Chapter 2, verse 9. But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that He, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death. Is there more astounding news to ever be told? When my youngest, Abram, was about 4, we were in the backyard doing some yard work. And I loved when the kids were this age. As we get older, our pride gets in our way, and we don't ask simple questions. And he looked at me while we were working, and he goes, Daddy, can God die? Great question. Can God die? We've just seen declared Jesus Christ is God. The eternal, true, living God. Having no beginning and no ending. And now we see Jesus Christ suffered death. Oh, my soul, how can it be? Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever is Amen. Paul wrote, without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the Spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory. Jesus Christ is God. Jesus Christ is man. And He's not half of one and half of the other. He is God manifest in the flesh. Manifest, meaning to make visible or known what has been hidden or unknown. Jesus Christ the same has been revealed. Mankind, due to our fall and our rebellion against God, cannot and will not approach God. Even should we be willing in this flesh, God would have no option than to condemn us if we were to come in our natural state. There is nothing good there at all. He would consume that man that came in his natural state in his justice and his wrath, rightfully so. Our Lord, God the Son, took on Himself our nature. He, as a man, came and fulfilled His own law. He kept it in every imaginable way. Not for Himself. He had no need. But He did it as our substitute. Then, to satisfy that law that we had broken, that we disdained, that we hated, He took me, this wretch, and all my sin and all my iniquity, and He bore it Himself. He took it as His own, and He suffered for the sin and shame I deserve. And He bore it on that tree. He shed His blood, and He died in my stead for what I deserved. Let's read starting in Hebrews 2, verse 9. But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that He by the grace of God should taste death for every man. For it became Him, for whom are all things, and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons unto glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. For both He that sanctifieth and they who are sanctified are all of one. For which cause He is not ashamed to call them brethren, saying, I will declare thy name unto my brethren. In the midst of the church will I sing praise unto thee. And again, I will put my trust in Him. And again, behold, I and the children which God hath given me. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, He also Himself likewise took part of the same, that through death He might destroy him that had the power of death, that is, the devil, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. For verily, He took not on Him the nature of angels, but he took on him the seed of Abraham. Wherefore, in all things, it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. For in that he himself hath suffered being tempted, he is able to succor them that are tempted. Jesus Christ, God the Son, is Jesus Christ, the Son of Man. Verse 3. Wherefore, holy brethren, chapter 3, verse 1. Wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, Christ Jesus. Christ is the apostle, the messenger of God. If we are to know God, it is Christ who must reveal him to us. Our Lord said in Matthew 11:27, all things are delivered unto me of my Father, and no man knoweth the Son but the Father. Neither knoweth any man the Father save the Son, and he to whomsoever the Son will reveal him. Our Lord, God the Son, Christ is the revealer of God. As man, he is the apostle, taught of God with the message of God. Continuing in chapter 31, consider the apostle and high priest of our profession. Our Lord is our high priest. Look over in chapter 4, verse 14. Chapter 4, verse 14. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever, is our unchangeable high priest. Turn over to chapter 7, verse 24. Chapter 7, verse 24. But this man, because he continueth ever, hath an unchangeable priesthood. Wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. For such an high priest became us, who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and made higher than the heavens, who needeth not daily, as those high priests, to offer up sacrifice first for his own sins, and then for the people's. For this he did once, when he offered up himself. For the law maketh men high priests which have infirmity, but the word of the oath, which was since the law, maketh the Son who is consecrated forevermore. Now of the things which we have spoken, this is the song. We have such an high priest who is set on the right hand of the throne of the majesty in the heavens, a minister of the sanctuary and of the true tabernacle, which the Lord pitched, and not man. What is the responsibility of that high priest? Look at chapter 8, verse 3. For every high priest is ordained to offer gifts and sacrifices. Wherefore, it is of necessity that this man have somewhat also to offer. What did he offer? Chapter 7, verse 27. Who, our Lord Jesus Christ, needeth not daily as those high priests to offer up sacrifice, first for his own sins, for he has no sin. We read in verse 26, he is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and made higher than the heavens. He has no need to offer up a sacrifice for his own sins and then for the people's. For this offering of sacrifice for the people's sin, he did once when he offered up himself. Jesus Christ himself is our sacrifice. Chapter 9, verse 11. Chapter 9, verse 11. But Christ, being come and high priest of good things to come, by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. Down in verse 24. For Christ is not entered into the holy places made with hands, which are the figures of the true, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us, nor yet that he should offer himself often, as the high priest entereth into the holy place every year with the blood of others. For then must he often have suffered since the foundation of the world. But now once, in the end of the world, hath he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment, so Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time, without sin, unto salvation. Not only is he our sacrifice, but he is our effectual sacrifice. Chapter 10, verse 11. And every priest standeth daily ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God, from henceforth expecting till his enemies be made his footstool. For by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. Our Lord Jesus Christ is God the Son, the man, the apostle, the high priest, who offered himself as the sacrifice. And because his sacrifice is accepted, he is our rest. Hebrews 4, 9 through 11 says, there remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. For he that is entered into his rest, he also hath ceased from his own works, as God did from his. Let us labor, therefore, to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. He is our rest, he is our surety. Hebrews 7:19. For the law made nothing perfect, but the bringing in of a better hope did, by the which we draw nigh unto God. And inasmuch as not without an oath he was made priest, for those priests were made without an oath, but this with an oath by him that said unto him, the Lord swear and will not repent. Thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. By so much was Jesus made a surety of a better testament. He is our rest, our surety. He is our mediator. Hebrews 9:13. For if the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of an heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctifieth to the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. And for this cause, he is the mediator of the New Testament, that by means of death, for the redemption of the transgressions that were under the first testament, they which are called might receive the promise of eternal inheritance. He is our rest, our surety, our mediator, and Christ our Lord is our faith. Hebrews 11:32. And what shall I more say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon and of Barak and of Samson and of Japheth and of David also and Samuel and of the prophets who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead raised to life again, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. And others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover, of bonds and imprisonments. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder, were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. And these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise, God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. Chapter 12:2. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Look over in chapter 13:7. Remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith, not the man who spoke, but the faith, or the Christ, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation. What is the end of their conversation? Where did the pastors, the teachers that came before us, where did they place their faith and their hope? Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever. One final thought. How glorious, how important is it that our God, our Lord Jesus Christ, is the same yesterday and today and forever for our salvation. In Malachi 3:6, he says, The Lord Jesus Christ says, "For I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore, because I change not, therefore, ye sons of Jacob." Jacob. I know Jacob. I know Jacob well. I'm ever thankful it says, "Ye sons of Jacob, and not ye sons of Abraham, the friend of God. Not you sons of Israel, Isaac, the promised son. But Jacob, you trickster, you supplanter, you sinner. I know him. Therefore, because I change not, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed." Jesus Christ, God the Son, who speaks to us the things of God, the Creator, the One who by Himself purged our sins, the Mighty King, Jesus Christ, the Man, the Apostle, the High Priest, the Sacrifice. Jesus Christ, our rest, our surety, our faith. Jesus Christ, the same, yesterday and today and forever. To those He chose, called, justified, sanctified, loved. What is our response? Hebrews 13, verse 10. "We have an altar, whereof they have no right to eat, which serve the tabernacle. He is our altar. As our high priest, he took his sacrifice himself and offered it upon his altar himself. And now we come to our altar, adding nothing to it, lest we pollute his redemptive work. And we come to our altar," Hebrews 13, verse 15, "by him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually, that is, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to His name." In a world of constant change, when we need comfort, when we need assurance, when we need help, may our Lord Jesus Christ, our God, be pleased to remind us He is the same yesterday and today and forever, an anchor for our souls. I pray the Lord will bless that to us.